But in this series, I want to do it as well as I can. I wanted to do something different. Not even that I wanted to. I had these things that I went up north and I go on sabbatical. I pray about sermon series and what he wants to speak for the year. And there's a series that I've been kind of like, to. And it's called Prodigal. And I thought, man, that's going to be tough because either some of us were prodigals, are prodigals, or definitely know a prodigal. So when you speak on a prodigal, everybody's thinking you're talking about my prodigal. No, I'm not. I'm talking about a prodigal. So I was gonna do that. I thought, no, Lord, we'll do that. And I felt like this series, we have the sermon title up. We can just put it up for a second. Identity crisis. He said, if the church doesn't know who they are, bring prodigals in, it's going to be a mess. We don't know who you are, and you're invited into a family who doesn't know who they are. It causes greater confusion in your life. So he's working on us. I have two things in this series I want to remind us of. I resisted so much wanting to put up pictures of thing one and thing two, but I didn't do it. I have a lot of other nonsense today, so buckle up. But this series primarily is a reminder of one thing with a hint of two things. Okay. One thing is, I want to remember, get across to us, who are you? Who are you? Who he says you are is who you are. And we're going to talk about that. The second one is, for some people maybe, are you fulfilling your purpose? Here's a big side note. There's over 100 verses, maybe more. I know if you look through Psalms, if you really want to know what you're made for, one of the things that we invite you to do every Sunday morning with the worship team, say, I am the worship team. We invite you to come up and worship with us or from your seats because we've been made to worship. There's over 100 verses in the Bible that talks about calling us to be worshipers. Not song singers, not musicians, but worshipers. And if you have anything to be grateful for God for, and if you're breathing and you walked in here, I guarantee you do, then he deserves some praise and worship. So you want to fulfill your purpose in this world? This is a side note. I don't even preach it. Come and bring your worship. Right? We're gonna fill the Miley gap. That's like ginormous. You know, it's ginormous. I resisted that too. So ginormous. But I do want to invite you. Say, make room. Anyways, I probably should pray again, but I'm not. Say, identity crisis. It's crazy to me that how humans identify is actually a hot topic in our world. Hot topic. Don't worry, I'm not going to do too much on it. Just enough to make you uncomfortable, and then I'm moving on. But seriously, that it is a topic, I'm a professional counselor. Okay, marriage and family is what we specialize in. That's what we specialize. We don't specialize in addictions or abuse and things like that. But I do want to say that it is a hot topic about identity crisis. It's a very telling revelation of the world's brokenness and the amount of damage done in people's lives. You want some terrible stats? They're like, yeah, give us terrible stats. That's always a good sermon. You know, welcome to church. You're going to get a terrible stat. 1 in 3 females are abused. I bring that up for this. If that's you, you're not alone, and there's people that have been helped, and Jesus is on his way. And you don't have to feel odd. But think about 1 in 3, and 1 in 5 males have been abused. Those are stats. So no wonder most people are hurt and confused in this world. Right? That'll do something to you. God wants to fix that. The results of sexual damages of every kind should not shock anyone that it has socially damaging consequences. But that's not my primary point today. Say, whew. Pastor, those are the things. See, I didn't look at my notes this morning because I was afraid I'd edit out stuff. And I'm also afraid I'd add stuff. And then before you know it, like if you got a good steak on the grill for you know, you overseasoned it. You're like, darn it. It was so good, but I just thought if one more pinch of paprika. Too much paprika. Well, I don't want to do too much paprika today, but it's not my primary, nor my secondary, nor my tertiary point. But if that is something you're wondering about, you could easily seek God's word about it. He is consistent. Seek God's word about it. From Genesis to to Revelation, God is consistent. The point will be in this series, if you identify as a Christian, I identify as a Christian, then that becomes our primary and priority identity. Dramatic pause for water. Yeah. The point in this series, if you identify as a Christian, then that becomes your primary and priority identity. Think about it even logically. Okay, let's do this logically. You can't be a bigger sports fan than you are a disciple of Jesus, or God isn't really first. And that was a soft one. Dr. Heidi has a quote. She has a lot of quotes. Some she has stolen, and she's become more famous than Confucius. And some are directly from her. This one, I believe, is directly from her. She says, I love that God is first in my husband's life, because then I know I'm almost always second. Okay, here, how about this? You can't be a bigger sports fan than you are a disciple of Jesus. Okay, I said it once. Okay. You can't identify as an American first when it comes to which kingdom you gave your heart to. I'm proud to be American. I am. I love it. It's great. No better country in the world. Hoorah. But it's not bigger than the kingdom I serve. Okay. And you can't be a disciple of Jesus. This one's going to hurt. You can't be a disciple of Jesus and still identify with what God calls sin. Oh, snap. Read it again. You can't be a disciple of Jesus and still identify with what God calls sin. It's my hope that this series is a good reminder of who those who identify with Christ are really called to be. Our world culture is a mess. They have a deep loss of who they are. They are confusion everywhere. And they make evil look good. And they promote it as a loving way of acceptance sometimes. But like I said, I'm not talking about that. The world culture isn't my concern. My two main questions are really for the church. I think I have a slide for my questions. Don't I? I have so much media today. Chantel, your fingers will be sore. Who are you and why are you here? Who are you and why are you here? There might be a third question, personally, if you've been reborn. And there may be, I heard there's a season 3 coming out of A Man Reborn. You know, there's another season. It's been a whisper, a rumor, but there may be another preaching of The Man Reborn. You know, there may be another season. So I just want to know. Those big questions, huh? Who are you and why are you here? With most churchgoers, okay. This is my perspective. Remember, I was broken and I am broken and I'm not perfect. But with most churchgoers, the question is asked, who are you? This is what comes back. An immediate, typical cookie cutter, rapid fire response answer. Well, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then maybe you'll get a smug. That's 2 Corinthians 5. Anybody ever experienced that or just me? Ever say that? No. Okay, maybe it's just me. My thought at those times, though, that's great. And I sure hope you are. But it seems to me like you've rehearsed that, and it feels typical Christianese and plastic to me. In many people's situations, their righteousness is lacking in application. They, us, we, right? The church very well could be, and we're supposed to be and should be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But what does it mean? That's a big question. It's a really big question. Have anybody been pondering the big questions of life lately? Every new year, man, I go deep. It's got to pull me out. You know, like he's in there thinking too much. You get him out of there. Play some music. Get him on the patio. Tell him there's birds. Okay, got it, you know. Get him out. What are purposes in this place? And maybe even a better question, how about this? What have you been born to do? What have you been born to do? Those are big ones. Say, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. What's your personal point? What's your personal purpose? What have you been born to do? Do you know? If maybe you know, then how's this? If you know, you're like, Pastor, I won't be cocky, but I know. Then how about this? If you know, how's your progress? See, I wish I had that button back there, Jesse. Do, 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 do. Someday I'm going to have a button on the pulpit, Miley. You come back, there'll be a, I'm going to have buttons. So anyways, what are you born to do and how's your progress? Now, we must grow into becoming anything. If you're going to become something, you got to grow into it, though, right? Some stuff happens immediately, right? Some stuff does. I'm so glad that forgiveness happens at repentance and the commitment to turn from sin. I'm glad then, boom, it's done. You forgave me? Like, I repent. I know it's sin. I forgive me, and I'm committed to not do that again. I'm going to put full force into that, God. Boom, forgiven instantly. Woo! How great is our God. Sing with me. Come on, right? If you've never experienced that, I hope you do today. Like, if you're carrying around something you need forgiveness for, but boom, today could go, boom! You could have a boom in your life just today, and it's not expected, but I hope you get it. I thank God for the instant. But some stuff, say some stuff. Some stuff you got to grow into, right? You got to become. Becoming like Jesus is not as easy as I thought it would be. You know, some things come in steps. Anybody? Some things come in stages. Some things come in seasons, right? So if you can identify with these generic steps that I'm about to share with you. Didn't make slides out of them because, like I said, there's too much media today. Step one is getting a clean heart from Jesus, right? That's how you get into the kingdom. Cleans it up, you repent, you turn. God, thank you. Right? Then that's accompanied by step two, committing to let him develop a new life and a new way of life in you. And that's a step, right? And then it goes to step three, you stay in environments that help you continually change. Right? Stay in environments that help you change. You want to taste good? Don't hang out in toilet water. Why? You stinky. Why? Because you hang out with stinky. You should go visit Stinky, but like the more you hang out with Stinky, you're stinky. Just saying. Step three, stay in environments that help you change, and which leads to step four, prepare for his assignment for you. Anyone feeling a preparation in your life for your next life mission? Like you feel it? Nope, not just Miley. Don't point at Miley. It's not just Miley. If you feel it, like, give me a little nod. Like, I'm going to raise my hand in this passage, but I feel it. Gotcha. I see that nod. Christian identifiers should know we are called to live a purposeful life, right? Are you really a believer in Jesus? Then here's the slide. I want to get this question. Believer in Jesus, this question's for you. Who are you? And why are you here? Man, if you get that down, the world changes. He's going to bring prodigals into test so you can show them who they are and where they're supposed to be, right? So if you identify as a disciple, you're not sure who you are, then here's a couple things. If you are a disciple, you're like, I really don't know who I am, then number one, you forgot who you are, and I have a video, one of my favorites.
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard at.
You see, he lives in you. Father?
Simba, you have forgotten me.
No. How could I?
You have forgotten who you are, and so forgotten me.
Go ahead and take it down. Go ahead and take it down. I got more. I know there's more coming.
You
But isn't that a beautiful picture of that truth? Yeah. Yeah, not yet, but that's good. Keep it. But I'll tell you right now, if you've forgotten who you are, and maybe, just maybe, it's time to look harder into your Father's word to see who you are. Maybe it's time to look harder into your Father's word to see who you are. Not just who pastor says you are, but you look into your Father's word and you find what his reflection is supposed to look like in you. Because that's what we're called to be. That's what we are. So either you've forgotten who you are or you're running from your purpose. Say, hey, Simba. You know, but you keep trying your way anyways. Anyone just keep trying their way? Keep running from what you know God said, just going to keep trying your way a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. Or possibly you're stuck on one of the steps. Ever get stuck on a step? How about the steps of the past? Ever get stuck on the steps of the past? How about steps of the fear of the future? Half the room is like, on the past, half the room is on for the future, right? I feel you like, yeah, we'll get stuck on the steps. I think I got another video about being stuck. Yeah. It's going to be, Sue would love it out here today. All right, pull me down. You got to put your past behind you sometimes. Now listen, your past definitely needs repenting from. You can't just leave it there. That dead body smells. You drag it around with you. You left it in the past, but you're dragging it. Everyone smells it. You can't leave it. You can't just ignore it away. It needs repenting from. But you know what? You should use it like a rearview mirror. I'll get you free counseling right here. This is one of the counseling things you'll hear at Ethos. When people are trying to get past their past, if you're stuck in the past steps, remember the rear Vermeer, okay? How many drive the whole way down Route Highway 60 the whole time and all you look is in the rear view mirror? If I did, how many expect me to crash by mile one? Then why do we spend our whole lives constantly in the past? You know what that mirror is for? It's to check the past so something's come up and hit me from behind, because that's what the past wants to do. It wants to hit you from behind. You got to check the past and then check it, but we're supposed to drive through the front window. Forward progress, right? I'm just saying, say it's time. Repent and turn from the past and commit to moving forward. This is the season. Anyone been feeling it's time to go forward? Anyone feel it's time to live out your purpose? Is it time to ask God how he desires you to go forward? Yeah, because lots of times I have a really good idea. It has a lot to do with Pine Top and 40 acres. It's like one of my, that's one of the things. Like, God, what about that? You know, like I'll be in a conversation and I probably bring it up 58 times a day, Tanner. Lord, you know, what about, I even got one picked out if you haven't thought about it because you're busy. You know, no, not yet. Okay. Does anyone recognize the world's an identity crisis? And at times, so is the church. Say, I am the church. Jesus offers us a new identity, right? So Christian means a follower of Christ, someone who's had, actually, the word is like to have rubbed in oil, saturated, almost like little mini-me's, you know? God, when little mini-me's roam around the whole earth, looking and acting like Jesus, right? That's what Miley is. She's a little mini-him, you know? Christians roam around the earth acting like Jesus. Say, that is my identity. That is my point. Right? That is. Jesus expects us to pursue him and that our lives would change and actually reflect God's ways in us. Right? His ways become our ways. So I've got some quotes. Did I put the quotes up? Actually, I got some quotes. Okay. If you do not change direction, you may end up where you're heading. If you do not change direction, you may end up where you're heading. Anyone of that true in your life every time? Come on. I was shocked that happened. We should be shocked. You were heading that direction. Wasn't shocking to the rest of us, Capozzi. We knew you were getting suspended for that. I'm shocked, sister. You can't be skipping class and be shocked that you're in detention, bro. You know? How about this? You don't have, next one, you don't have to know where you're going to be headed in the right direction. You don't have to know where you're going to be headed in the right direction. I'll paraphrase that in case you're like, that's just too Confucius for me. Always choose what's right and your direction will take care of itself. Always choose what's right and your direction will take care of itself. See, identity crisis. So we're going to start our story like all good stories at the beginning, right? The OG beginning, the original God model. This next part may cause some fuss. Like, again, it's not my original point. It's not my primary point. It's not my secondary point. It's my third. It's just a point. I didn't make the rules, and I'm imperfect. And if you're fussy, truly care enough about God's word, then go study some stuff because some stuff's real clear. Right side. Or let's see. West side. West side. Sun's west side. West side. Dyslexic, you know. West side. You ready? Look at the east side. Say, look it up. Say, identity crisis. Yeah. God's word was written way back then for people back then. God's word was written for the people of 2024. God's people was written for, my next slide, for infinity and beyond. It was written for infinity and beyond, right? This world. So let's get into Genesis because I've been talking too much without word. Genesis 1:27 in the Amplified. So God created man. We'll stop right there. I'm slow rolling. That word man is Adam, Adam, or Adam, Adam in Hebrew. You know what that word means? Plural, mankind. Indicating that humanity is to be little replicas of him. He created humanity. That's what that word means, Adam. Okay. Mankind. In his own image and in the image of likeness of God. He created him male. Different word. That's zakar. It's a Hebrew word for sexual identification. And he created female. A completely different word. Nakaiba. Meaning a completely different sexual classification. He created them. So the first thing I want to talk about real quick is God made mankind to reflect him. Undeniable. And then he placed mankind in two categories. I didn't do it. He did it. President Trump didn't do it. Ed didn't do it. God said, there's two categories, male and female. He didn't separate them by race or size or weight or talent or check other. He created male and female. God said, I want you to look like me. And he said, I want two kinds of people, male and female. So what have we learned so far? We're his images. We've made it look like him. Say, I'm his image in the world today. And you're either this, made male or female. Sexual rules and laws, they're easily studied in God's word from the Old Testament. You'll find tons of it in there, old and new. Again, that's not my purpose. Pastor Heidi, don't even sweat it. It's okay. We all get off track. We all lose our way. We all Romans 3:23 says we all have sinned. Anybody not in that category? Because I really would love to conversate with you. And we do both things, just like Simba. We forget who we are, and we run from it at times. Anybody run from what you're supposed to be ever in your whole life? Well, just the five of us are imperfect. The rest of the people are killing it. So, say, oh, Simba. Say, oh, Ed. Say, oh, Kaylee. Oh, Blanche. Oh, Max. Oh, Pastor. Say, remember who you are. John 1:12, identity crisis. But as to many as did receive and welcome him, to those folks, he gave the right. To those who received and welcomed, he gave the right, the authority, the privilege to become children of God. That is to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. If you are not one of those who have believed in, relied on, or trusted in Jesus, but you want to, man, come grab me today and let's talk, because it'll change your life forever. This being part of that family is the greatest family you could ever be part of. It is amazing. It can happen. And if you are those who have believed, anybody here has believed and received and trusted and relied on him, then you can confidently say this with me. If that's you, confidently say this. Give me your best confident voice. Ready? I am his child. I am his child. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I am. You can't deny it. You know, I am. Hebrews is a good place to pull over, so let's go there. Hebrews 3:12-14. Take care, brothers and sisters. He's talking about believers here. Like, take care, brothers and sisters. Like, this is God's family. The ones we just talked about, those that adhered. He's talking to those people. That is us, Christians. Take care, brothers and sisters, that there not be any one of you a wicked, unbelieving heart which refuses to trust and rely on the Lord. A heart that turns away from the living God. Okay, Lord, be careful of that. That's a rearview mirror for me. Got you. The next part's front view. But continually encourage. Not saying continually look to get encouraged. I mean, we're humans. We always think about what's best for us, no matter what it is, how it works good for us, right? But continually encourage one another every day. How are we doing with that? Man, I do share my problems every day. Every day, I'll tell somebody. Every day. My knee hurts again every day. No. Encourage somebody every day. If your heart is a believer and a hearer and a truster in Jesus Christ, an example of us should be that we're encouraging people. We're not the guy at the water cooler everybody avoids because all we do is talk about wah, wah, wah. Your perspective's off. You could have wah, wah, wah. Anybody have a wah, wah, wah? I've got some wah, wah, wahs. They're okay. God, I'm letting God work on those. But my primary is supposed to be continually encourage one another every day, as long as it's called today and there's an opportunity. Why? So that none of you will be hardened. If you stay in wah, wah, wah too long, you get skeptical. I mean, I was skeptical of being at Christmas. Ever judge somebody just looking at them? No, you never do. Just me and Ed. So we walk through Walmart, you see someone on the ground with a sign or something, and in case you go, oh, man. No one else. Pastors being vulnerable. So you ever go, come on, bro. You're 26. Go down and get it. I know Arby's is hiring. Sometimes that happens, but we don't know the story. I mean, Harold's in here. Pray for him. You would judge that guy. You guys haven't met Harold. I can't wait till he's back in service and healed and healthy and whole. Pray that constantly. I miss that guy. But if you don't know Harold, let me describe Harold to you. He's got other tattoos on his face and body. But I'll just give you one of them. It says hard wood on his forehead. So if you saw Harold rolling up in, right? Okay, Christian, right? You got your wife with you, you're hanging out, right? And all of a sudden Harold rolls up and he sits right next to her. You don't know him. You'd be like, what's homeboy's issue? But he's a born-again, solid Jesus Christ loving guy, set free from his charges of sin, right? He is. So why is it good that we don't stay in this negative world that we perceive ourselves through, but we see ourselves through God? Because our hearts can be hardened, and we can settle into rebellion, which will lead us to deceitfulness of sin. Sin, it's cleverness, it's delusive grandeur, it's sophistication. It can sneak in, right? Wrapped up real nice. For we believers have become, say, I am transforming, have become partakers of Christ, sharing in all the Messiah has for us. East side, say, I guess I can have it all. West side, ready? Say, I knew it. I knew I could have it all. Become partakers of Christ, sharing in all the Messiah has for us, if only This is where I get tripped up on most things. I'm a guy, I don't read all the instructions. I like headlines. I'll figure it out from there. If you're coming to tell me a story and I got a few minutes, you may go headlines, that means just give me the headlines. Right? But sometimes in directions, the details matter. Ever have to take something apart you put together already? Yeah, if I just listened to the directions, that little thing, I saw the box, I figured I could handle it. I can never handle it. If only we hold firm to our newborn confidence until the end. It's time, as we make room for Jesus, to be a little more consistent, to be a little more continuous, right? We're made to be partakers of all Jesus has for us. If we only get consistent with some things in our lives, that space is going to be filled with him. And you watch how life changes. Ephesians 2:8. God saved you by his grace when you believed. Say instantly, woo, thank you. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Why do you say that? Because we're prone to take credit for stuff. Ever tell your testimony and then you just talk a little bit how awesome you were in it too much? And you just, like, God did it, but you're like, well, that was this, and then I did this, that God did. I had faith, and then he walked on water. Thank God for that. You know, sometimes we'll tell the story from a different direction, right? Peter's like, and then I was walking on water, and then his buddies are like, and then you sank. You know, shh, it's my story, bro. Mm-hmm. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. Some of y'all need to hear that for your identity. It's not a reward for good things you've done. Why? So none of us can boast about it. If we are God's masterpiece, I told you we were a masterpiece. Why? Because you're created by the master. You're a mosaic. You fit in. You're a masterpiece. The world, 1 in 3, 1 in 5, something damaged you, but I'm telling you right now, you've been created to be a masterpiece. A display model. The kind of like, whew, look at that one. Look at that one. Yeah. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Belonging to Jesus makes you new. Create us new so we can do good things he planned for us to do long ago. What? Say, I've been made new. I've been made to be a doer. I've been made to be a doer of good things. Boom, that's part of your purpose, is to be a doer of good things. Woo, Miss Blanche. You do good things just walking in the door. It's easy. Good things just drip off, Miss Blanche. You know, we all can't be Miss Blanche, Jesus and Miss Blanche, you know. But the rest of us, we got some doing to do. Anybody got some doing to do? I got some doing to do. Okay. So what we've learned so far. I have been made new. I have been made to be a doer of good things. I've been created with a gender to represent God's image. I've learned that I am his child. I've learned that I've been invited into all God has planned for me. And I've been made a doer. Ephesians 2:18. And the ESV, I'm switching it up. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens. Awesome. Ever feel like a stranger and alien in a room full of people? Come on. It happens to me all the time. My temperament feels it constantly. I feel like I'm kind of the alien here amongst all of you. And you're all fellowshipping, you're like kicking it. The Christmas party's going, whoa, whoa, whoa. Someone's doing the worm and getting sugared up over there. We're in the 12 twins, 7 gold rings. All that's going on, right? I'm the alien. I'm over there going, Christmas party. You're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are. Say, I am. You are fellow citizens with the saints. You're listed in this directory with the saints. Now, when I was a kid, that was a bigger deal. And then I minimalized it, and then I realized what a big deal that is. The generations that come after you, you're the saints that led them forward. That's a big deal. It says, you are members of the household of God. Say, I am a member of his house. Yeah. Built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into. Say grows into. See, that doesn't happen right away. Looking as being as your best Jesus doesn't happen the day that you're like, here's my heart, forgive me. I am dirty, clean me up. I feel better. I feel brand new. You got to grow into this, grow into a holy temple in the Lord. But so are we growing or are we running or are we stuck? Are we growing? Are we running or are we stuck? Grow into the holy temple. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place. A dwelling place for God. You are being built into a dwelling place for God. You, personally, disciple of Jesus Christ, your life's mission, he's been working in you and around you to build in you a dwelling place for God to reside. That's incredible. It's incredible. Yell it. Is Bob here? We can yell at Bob. Where's Bob? Bob, we're going to yell at you. Ready? You can take it. Say, Bob, be the manger. Be the manger. Carry the Spirit. All right, come on, Bob. Bob does a good job this week. I can pick on Bob. You know. Who are you is muy importante. I know whenever I speak Spanish, everyone cries. I get it. It's not good. Malito. No good. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Amplified. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, boop, that is grafted in and joined into him by faith in him as Savior, if you believe in him as Savior, therefore, if anyone is in Christ that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he's a new creature. A new creature reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, say the old things. The old things. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition have passed away. I don't identify there anymore. I don't walk up to people. Here's a little vulnerability. I don't walk up to people and say, you know, in 1986 to 1987 and a half, I was a cocaine addict. I identify with a cocaine. I don't. I identify as Jesus Christ. He delivered me from that. You know how many times as believers we identify with sin? That's not our identity anymore. And you can't make that an excuse. Well, that's, no. We don't identify there anymore. They pass away. Behold, new things have come because spiritual awakening brings a new life. Say, I am made new for a new life. I've been made new for a new life. So you just got to go, okay, I got to get out of the rear view. Boom. All right, there's the, oh, look at, you know what's in my front view right now? I got my grandson and my wife and my kids back there, and that's kind of how I drive my life. Because they're supposed to see it in me. And boy, if anybody's seen the worst in me, well, not the worst. Pre-Jesus was the worst. Is make you vomit on yourself, you know. On yourself. You're like, oh, Pastor Sean, that's terrible. But if anybody's seen the worst to me since I become a Christian, would be those people. Right. But that doesn't leave me an excuse not to drive forward for them. I feel like the church has had an identity crisis. We don't know who we are, and we don't know why we're here. And we identify with stuff that's just been labels the world gave us and we gave ourselves, or things that trip us up. We feel like we're not worthy. Oh, God. God's in the restoration business, right? 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21. But all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ, making us acceptable to him. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Not just Miley, not just Pastor Sean, not just Dr. Heidi. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Hey, West Side, you ready? Look at the East Side. Say, you got a job to do. East Side, say, who are you talking to? Yeah, we got a job to do. We've been left to do a job. Sometimes I just think it's about me getting some rays by the pool and some peace. That's my life focus, you know. Get home, get by the pool, get some peace. maybe have a sandwich. But he gave us the ministry of reconciliation so that by our example, that's hard to live up to. I'm a perfectionist, man. I am a perfectionist. Anybody else, your own worst critic? Man, no, I didn't kiss her good enough. Should have been three more seconds. Should have tilted my head to the left. Man, I should have tied my shoes differently. I should have wore different shoes than those. They didn't match. I should have been nice when Miley said that. I was so distracted. I didn't give her enough time. Before you know it, I get out the door. I'm like, wah, wah, wah. Anybody? Oh, good. This is the right church. But guess what? He gave us the ministry of reconciliation so that by our example, we might bring others to him. You don't have to point at them. But how many of you came to know Jesus Christ because someone lived a really good example for you and they told you about him and they brought you to a church or they led you in prayer? If anyone ever was that great example, you raise your hand. Say, I am the church. You want to know your purpose? It's to be a great example for Jesus. And you're not perfect. So there's grace to apply to one another. So much grace. But you got a purpose. That is the God who was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Not counting people's sins against them, but canceling them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cancel button. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Say, I am his messenger. I've been committed as, not Miley. We're not just saying, Miley, go preach the gospel for us. No. Some of you guys are going to Walmart after this. Walmart needs the gospel seen. Walked out better than I do. I go to Walmart with my hat on and sometimes in a disguise because all I want to do is pick up non-dairy something and get out. And sometimes that's good. And other times I fail as a minister of the gospel. Anybody ever wah-wah there? Whew, man, I was hanging out with Stinky. I don't know. And he committed us to the message of reconciliation. That is the restoration to favor with God. That's our job. Hey, you can be restored. No matter what you've done, if you confess that to Jesus, he will forgive you. And then you decide to commit to changing that. He will change your life, forgive you. Boom, brand new, clean, fresh as a whistle. Hallelujah. That's the message. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Say, I am an ambassador. You know what? It represents a kingdom. Ambassadors represent a kingdom. So you're the aliens on earth. That's why you feel different than everybody else. That's why when you start to live in his image, it shakes a little bit of people. Why? Because we're the alien, right? We're the ambassadors that don't understand the kingdom. I didn't understand the kingdom until I was in the kingdom. And now I'm just barely beginning to scratch the surface of what the kingdom is. Before I became Jesus' lover, I was kind of cynical. I was actually rude and mean. Don't evangelize my house. You'd be in trouble. I'm just saying. Don't stop me in with your flyer. Don't come to me with your good news Jesus shirt. Why? Because I'm not safe. Anybody else? And then all of a sudden, boom, I love Jesus. And now I'm up here doing this. He's got a sense of humor. As though God were making his appeal through us. Wait, he appeals. He appeals to people through us. So sometimes it's like fishing. He's got to send the right lure. He's going to appeal like, yeah, you can throw that out there. But they're trout. They're not going to bite that. They don't care about that. They want something shiny and flashy. Oh, shiny and flashy. Pastor, you are not shiny and flashy. Who are we going to send in that job? That's Chantel. She's shiny. She's flashy. Go! Zzz, get in there. Get in there, Chantel. As though God were making his appeal through us, we, as Christians, plead with you on behalf of Jesus Christ to be reconciled to God. He made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that in him, we would become, say become, become. We would become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's a process, man. And some days I do better than other days. Anybody else? Thank God for the canceler. God for the eraser. Thank God for the love. Thank God he's a better father than him. Thank God. Right? Becoming the righteous God. That is, I would be made acceptable to him and placed in a big, right relationship with God. Remember our relationship ratio? How are you doing? Criticisms of what God's doing in your life versus appreciation. How's your quantity time with him? You getting enough time in since last week? You made room? Like you cleared your schedule? Like, pff, man, Pastor, you don't even know. I called it a works 8 days in a row. I spent it to the glory of God. I was just laying on the floor. Huh? How's your quality time? Well, I read. What'd you read? I don't know. I just read it. Well, that's good. It's like eating. I don't know what I ate last Thursday. I have no idea, but I guarantee this blanch, I ate. So you don't always have to know what you eat to keep alive. You don't have to always know the direction to do the right thing. You just got to do the right thing. You just got to eat sometimes. Some girls around here, I'm on them about eating all the time. I won't look at them because they'll shank me. But I'll tell you, I'm on them because they got to eat. Like, you got to stay alive. I'm worried about you. All you are is dust in the wind, you know? But how's your quality and quantity time with him? If you're in love with somebody, that matters. Placed by his gracious loving kindness. So here's our recap, and I'm going to close with prayer. Who are you? So far, this is what I can confidently say. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, these are things you can be confident in. You've been created with a gender to rep God's image. You are his child. You are made new. You've been invited to all God has planned for you. He wants you in your spot. Can't wait for you to get in your spot. He's made you to be a doer. There's things he put in your life that you know it's time to do, and you just been procrastinating and not doing it. This is the season, baby. This is the season to be a doer. You've been given membership, exclusive access membership. You know, I like that kind of thing. You know, I never got to do first class one time, but you ever go to the airport and get to go in first class? The little, whoosh, they open up, right? And they just greet you with a little drink, and they say, want to sit down in that comfy little chair? Well, I don't mind if I do. I'm a member. Not really, but I'm used to some guy's membership. Same thing. Just like the gym. I'm being built. I'm not done yet. He's still building if I'll let myself be on the builder's block. The master wants to work on the masterpiece, but the masterpiece has to stay on the pedestal so we can keep painting. I'm being built. Oh, that was beautiful. I'm being built to the place that God can be found dwelling in me. See, it's not just being built up so I look better, smell better, taste better, more color coordinated. Not as chunky. There's nothing about that. There's nothing to do about that. Well, a little bit about being chunky, but other than that, for me. But you've been built to be a dwelling place. So when someone can't connect with God, and they can't seem to find him, and they've read their Bibles, and they just can't, it's like a wall, and they've listened to praise and worship music, and they just can't get past their own head, the next place they should look for God is in you. You're being built to be a dwelling place for God. You are. Not just Miley. We learned that we're ambassadors and we're message bearers. And so that's too much to learn for 1 week. I can't go into part two. It's just too much. But if any of that touches your heart, I want to close and pray over all of us so you can stand with me. Father, I know that we are a church. We are the church. We are the worship team. Lord, I pray that those of us that call you Lord and Savior around the world, every church, I love Sunday mornings because around the world, worship is happening. And we're part of it. Lord, I know at New Season, I know that you want to do something really great this year. And that means the people's lives that are here, you're trying to remind us of who we are and what our purpose is. Because some of these folks are some of the best fishing lures the world could ever offer. Lord, some of these men and women of God are called to do and lead and go places and bring people out of darkness and give their lives and their testimony and be messengers and ministers of the gospel in their daily lives. So, Lord, we would not escape what you have planned for us this year. Do in us what we can't do for ourselves. Change us from the inside out, from the outside in. We put ourselves, Lord God, in your hand. Make a masterpiece in us this year, Lord. Make a masterpiece in us this year. That the world could see a better picture of you. That the world could see a better picture of you when they see me. Lord, when they see New Season, they can see a better picture of you. When they see, put your name in. Lord, this year you would do that so I could fulfill my purpose. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please love on another masterpiece before you go. Go love on another masterpiece near you.